And would you like me to give you a 5 minute update, or are you going to time
Yeah,
yourself?
you better put the speed brakes on me. You better put the
Okay.
speed brakes on me. I get going. I get going.
Okay. So the floor is yours, Pat.
All right. Hey, everybody. I'm Pat. I'm a recovered alcoholic. Great to be with you. Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning to some of us. And it's just an international crowd. It's great. Anna's doing a road trip, so make sure, Anna, you keep the eyes on the road with your hubby. You know, make sure you're doing that deal. And I'm happy to be here today. You know, we don't have a whole lot of time to share, but I wanted to share the single most important passage in the big book that means the most to me. And whenever I get a chance, when somebody says, hey, just share them anything you want to share on, I usually pick the text that we're going to talk about. And it's on page 51. So if you have your big book, just take a look at it. It's the very top paragraph. And it is the result of the paragraph that starts on page 51. And I'm going to read the result, and then I'm going to come back to the page 50, the bottom. Okay. So about the fifth line down, or the sixth line down, let's see, one, two, three, four, five lines down, it says this on the top of page 51. When many hundreds of people are able to say that the consciousness of the presence of God is today the most important fact of their lives, they present a powerful reason why one should have faith. Folks, that is the essence of the AA Big Book. That is it. That is the program of recovery in one sentence. It's experiencing the consciousness of the presence of God. And I don't know about you, but when I came in, and God struck me sober back in 2002. But when I came in, the last thing, and I mean very last thing that I was looking for was a conscious connection to God. That was not on my agenda. All I wanted to do was stop drinking because my life was a bloody mess. And I look at this previous page on page 50, and it says, they flatly declare, second to the last paragraph, here are thousands of men and women worldly indeed. Okay, so I like these guys. They're like me. They're not the religious folks. They're the guys that are on the street. Says they flatly declare that since they have come to believe in a power greater than themselves and take a certain attitude toward that power, and we'll look at that a little bit later, and to do certain simple things, there has been modest change in their life, not a big deal. No, a revolutionary change in the way of what? Everything that matters to each one of us on this call, how I live, how I think. We could probably add in there how I feel. In the face of collapse and despair, in the face of total failure of their human resources, that's everything Pat can do to make his life okay. They found that they had a new power, peace, happiness, and a sense of direction that flowed into them. That happened soon after they made a wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements. They were once confused and baffled by the seeming futility of existence, and they show why the underlying reasons of their lives were such hard going. You know what? In an essence, you know, the dirty little secret, I come into AA and I really think that if I just quit drinking, my life's going to straighten out. And for 9 months into sobriety, my life was not straightening out. It was getting markedly worse. The only thing that was going on was I didn't have anything to anesthetize myself. I mean, I had nothing to stand between me and the spiritual malady, which we understand today is what's driving the obsession of the mind and the allergic reaction in the body. If I don't have something deal with this spiritual malady, I am going to die. That's a fact. And so, why does this consciousness of the presence of God, why do I pick that out as the most important line in the entire big book? It's because it represents everything that we're chasing. I don't know about you, but what I'm chasing in my life. And in the third step, it talks about it in terms of this, we had to quit playing God because it didn't work. Pat can't play God anymore. Pat gets fired from playing God. hereafter in this drama of life, something's going to change. There's going to be a revolutionary change in Pat's life. And let me just sort of look at this for a second. You know, if I look at a director hereafter in this drama called life, God is going to be my director. And again, I want to relate this all back to the consciousness of the presence of God. What does that really mean? What does it even mean to have a conscious presence, God? Does that mean I walk around like I'm sort of floating in the land and I'm not really present in the world? Absolutely not. I'm probably more connected in the world today and with people around me than I ever was while I was out there drinking. And so the first thing this big book tells me is that from a directorship, God is going to guide me. I was always looking for a path. I was always looking for a roadmap. I was always looking for how to be guided through this life. I couldn't figure it out. I feel like somebody got the rule book of life and I missed out on it. I was just asleep. I don't know what happened. I was out in the waiting room, but I missed it. And that's been my experience. I need somebody bigger than me to guide me, to give me the right path to be able to walk this life. And the next thing it talks about is being a principal. God's going to be our principal. We're going to be his agents. I don't know about you, but I was struggling. I never belonged to the right crew. I never belonged to the right group. I never belonged to the right party, the right people, the right entity. And I never knew. I was always trying to make you represent me. I was always trying to make you do stuff for me to make me okay. And I couldn't make you do what I wanted you to do. And I couldn't make me do what I wanted to do. Representation. I needed a principal. I need not only the direction and the guidance, but I needed this overall, I need to have a sense of belonging, if you will. I need to have a sense of, and that's probably the big word about it. If I have the right principal, I feel like I belong. I'm not alone anymore. And I have all the things, all the tools that I need to operate. I'm not naked anymore. I belong. I'm in a family. And then it goes right into, what about a father? What does a father do for us? If this consciousness of the presence of God, there's this father relationship that's going to go on with Pat that I never had growing up. What does that even look like? What does a father do for us? What is a father's role? I'm a father of three. I'm a grandfather of three. My role in life, and I was thinking about this, and I was just talking to God about it. You know, I need to be approved of. I need approval. I need to be loved. I need to know that there's nobody more important in this universe than me. I know it sounds selfish and self-centered, but part of the truth about who God is to us is infinite love and care and protection. What does a father do? He protects. He makes us safe. I need to feel safe. I need to feel protected. I also need to feel loved. I need to belong. I need to be approved of. I need to know that my papa looks at Pat today and goes, "That's my boy." There is nothing in this world that Pat can do that can separate me from my love for Pat. I love Pat. I can't imagine not spending my every moment of my eternal existence without Pat. I can't imagine that. I've got to be with Pat. That's the way my papa feels about me. Infinite love, infinite power. And this relationship is also about Father gives us wisdom, knowledge, advice. He gives us that sixth sense, if you will. Okay? How about a maker? Another word that is said in that third step about this conscious presence of God is that God is our maker. We say to our maker in the third step prayer, right? God, I offer myself to you to do with me and build with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties. That's that third column stuff of how I'm all screwed up because I'm trying to represent myself. and relieve me of these, take away these difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to my, to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. See, this way of life is a conscious presence. It's an ongoing. I'm in this environment of God and I can't get out of it. I don't even want to get out of it. And so in this maker, you know what? The maker knows me. The maker created me. None of us on this call are a mistake. None of us were an afterthought. Before we even existed, God made us. We are intimately known by our maker. We matter. We are vital. Everything starts shifting when these things start becoming reality in my life. And then finally, on a day-to-day basis, besides my maker, he's given me the strength and he's given me power. He tells me I matter. He's built me with what needs to happen for me to be able to conduct my life. And then finally, what does an employer do? That's another word that is used in that third step in the promises. A new employer, the employer's taking care of me. At some level, the employer's meeting my day-to-day needs if I perform his work well and just faithfully rely on my papa. So this consciousness of the presence of God is all-inclusive in those areas of that third step reality. You know, in the terms, and I want to flip over to page 55 for a second. You know, the big question mark is, well, Pat, that just sounds great. I want everything you just talked about. Yippee-yay-yay. That's super. Now, how in the rip do I get that? Because you know what? We can't get it. It's received. None of this stuff am I earning. None of this stuff am I doing. This is a revolution. I am on new soil. I am recreated. This is the result of this relationship with God that's formed as I go through these spiritual principles of these steps. And the first thing that we hear about let me back to page 47 for 1 second. I got three little short shares and I'll be done. Page 47 tells me that if I'm going to start this conscious relationship with God, it tells me I have to be honest. It says, what do spiritual terms mean to me? So I get quiet before a God that I didn't even know. And I ask God that I didn't even know, God, what do the spiritual terms mean to me? In fact, God, what does God mean to me? What does prayer mean to me? What is meditation? What does higher power mean to me? And I start getting honest. And the crazy thing is, God, my papa, starts revealing himself to me. Pat, I've been waiting for all your life to start talking with you. I've been talking to you, but you haven't been listening. Now you're listening. I'm going to talk with you. We're going to have a conversation in your heart, and it's going to change everything. Pat, when you ask me, what does God mean? It means I protect you and I love you. I want you to know that first and foremost. And it started this relationship that I didn't even know I wanted. Page 55 tells me that I have to have a certain simple attitude. So I get honest on page 47 and ask what spiritual terms start meaning to me, that we agnostics chapter. Page 55 tells me what kind of attitude do I need to have. And you know what? I'm capable of all the things that the attitude asks me to have. Second to last paragraph. We can only clear the ground a bit, this page 55, if our testimony helps sweep away any prejudice. So the first thing I ask in my set aside prayer, God, please set aside me any prejudice I have about you, my experiences in life, how I don't think you're going to work, how this will never work for me. It's going to work for other people, but it's never going to work for me. Anybody ever have that feeling? I hated those people that were all smiles and giggles and walking the rooms and talking about the miracle that happened in their life and going, well, I can't say it, but it was not a happy word that I was thinking, because it didn't sound like it was real. I didn't believe it. Maybe for you, but not for me. It'll never happen for me. I believe it's real for you. God, please set aside these prejudices. Then it says, enables me to think honestly. I was afraid to think honestly because I didn't want to see what was in the closet. I didn't want to see the monster in the closet. I was afraid to open up that door. I thought that as soon as I opened up that door about being honest to myself, my innermost self, it would kill me. It would destroy me. And it would if it wasn't for the fact that my papa is standing guard. My dad is never going to let anything happen to me. Pat, you can go into that room. You could ask those questions. It's okay. I've got you. And then the final thing is it encourages me to search diligently within myself. You know what? This is a lifelong process. Diligent. It means I apply some effort to keeping at the task of looking and searching. And my fourth step, it asks me to fearlessly face, fact find, and fact face. Be thorough and fearless from the very beginning. I could do those things. You know why? Because I know that my papa's got me. The second step prayer, in page 56, that last little bit, on page 56, this guy named Fitz Mayo is having a heck of a time believing in God. And it's his story. It's called Our Southern Friend in the Big Book. That's the story about Fitz Mayo. And at the very end of a conversation that he's having with himself and with another alcoholic who's recovered, he basically is doubting God and God doesn't work in his life and there's no hope and, you know, why believe in God? And he has this sudden spiritual experience, but he concludes with this. This man recounts that he tumbled out of bed. This is the last, second to last paragraph, page 56. He tumbles out of bed to his knees, and in a few seconds, he is overwhelmed by the conviction of the presence of God. Why? Because he got honest with the question that was always killing him. Who are you to say there is no God? And then it says, it poured over and through him with the certainty and majesty of a great tide at flood. The barriers he had built up through the years were swept away. What a beautiful line. How many barriers have I built up over the years and become hard-hearted and cynical and critical? He stood in the, and here's his description now, this God he didn't even believe in. Now he does. And he said he stood in the presence of infinite power and love. He had stepped from the bridge to shore for the first time. He lived in what? Conscious companionship with his creator. He was vital. He was wanted. He was approved of. He was intimate with his father, and he knew the loving arms of his papa. That's worth the world to me. You know, I could go on for hours on why this is important, but if you're working with somebody as you do recovery or somebody ever asks you what's the most important thing you've ever learned out of AA, at some level, it's got to be this. It's got to be the presence of the consciousness of the presence of God. Why? Because it changes everything. There is no revolution in my heart or my mind or my behavior or my thoughts or my concepts about life if there hasn't been a conscious contact with God. And that relationship is vital and it grows over time. Thank you for letting me share. I love you guys.
Thank you very much, Pat.